Mark the 11th chapter, from verse 12 to 14 and 20 to 23. And I'm reading the New King James Version. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Bible Before Breakfast, Mildred Kingsley-Konko here. So this morning, we're still talking faith. And I hope that it's been opening your heart to be more conscious of God and having a stronger sense of God. This morning, we're going to talk about the fig tree. And this story, I mean, it has a lot of angles to it, but I'm going to stick to the faith angle this morning. Because every time I teach on the scripture, most times, to be honest, I draw on the fact that the fig tree was not supposed to be in season. And it had leaves but no fruit. So, of course, Jesus cursed it. And that really is hypocrisy, which a lot of us do as Christians. That we look the part, but when people draw close to us, there's no fruit. And people are hungry. So, of course, what happens is in the end, they curse us. And that has always been the angle. But today, I just want to take it from the angle that it really is about, which is the fact that Jesus was talking about faith. And so Jesus got near to it. He was hungry, wanted to eat. He saw the tree, got close to it. There was no fruit. And so he cursed the tree. He said, "From today on, no one will eat from you." And the Bible was careful to tell us that the disciples heard it. So it wasn't just something Jesus said in his mind. Jesus said the words out loud. He actually used his mouth. He said, "From today, nobody will eat from you." And so in the morning, they passed by the same tree. And Peter was the first person to notice that the fig tree had dried up from the roots. It didn't just dry such that the leaves fell and the tree withered. It dried from the roots. And Peter remembered what had happened the day before. And he said, "Rabbi, look," he must have been so excited. He said, "The fig tree which you cursed has withered away. This is amazing." And Jesus answered him very calmly, "Have faith in God." This morning, that's my biggest message to you. Have faith in God. Don't have faith in faith. Have faith in God. Because it is God you please by using your faith. And it's impossible to please God if you don't have faith. But don't put that faith in faith. Put that faith in God. And Jesus said something else very profound. He said, "Assuredly I say to you, whosoever shall say." Believers, you need to start saying. Don't just think it in your heart. Say it with your mouth. Jesus said, "If you will say to this mountain," I don't know what that mountain is. It can be a mountain of debt, it can be a mountain of sickness, it can be the mountain of marriage, it can be the mountain of career, promotion, whatever that mountain is, whatever that thing that is standing your way is, it says you can say, "Be removed, be cast into the sea." But there's a condition. You must not doubt in your heart. Can you doubt in your head? That's up to you. But Jesus says if you don't doubt in your heart, but you believe that the things you have said will be done, you will have whatever you say. Listen, confession is such an important part of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us that it is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." And since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore we speak. Because we have that same spirit of faith, there's a spirit of faith, and that spirit of faith propels you to speak when you believe. And so Jesus said, when you believe something,
You want something very badly. Go there and speak it. Say to that mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Give it direction. It says, and if you say that thing and you believe it, there has to be a connection between your speaking and your believing. Too many times I've heard Christians say, oh, but I've been confessing this and it hasn't happened. My question is, do you believe in your heart the things you're confessing with your mouth? That's the first question. Do you believe it in your heart? Of course your head will doubt. Faith is never about logic. Your head will doubt. I remember just staying in the Word and confessing the fact that I have two nations in my womb, but I believed it. I believed it so deeply. I believed that my children were around my table. I believed I was a fruitful vine in the heart of my husband's house and that my children surround my table because it's a reward for my husband. I believed that none was barren, everyone bears twins. I believed it with everything inside me. And I said it every day, morning, afternoon, and night, until it became a reality in my heart. What do you believe? What are you saying? Is your believing aligning with your saying? Are you saying what you believe? Do you believe what you say? Let me show you something else that is so important. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And I think I will read it from three different versions. Okay, so maybe we should start with the Passion Translation. Passion Translation says, Hebrews 13, verse 5 to 6 says, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have, for you always have God's presence. For hasn't He promised you that I will never leave you, never, and I will not loosen my grip on your life? It says, so we can say with great confidence that the Lord is my helper. Listen, if God is in your life, you have no need to be afraid or to worry or to panic. Look at what the Message Translation says. It says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have, since God assures us that I will never let you down. I will never walk off. I will never leave you. It says, we can now boldly quote, God is there, ready to help. I'm fearless, no matter what, who or what can get to me. Now, let me show you something in the Amplified Classic. The Amplified Classic is my absolute favorite of the scripture. It says, let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For He, God Himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give up on you, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Verse 6 says, so we take comfort and are encouraged, and we can confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Listen, God promises that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us without support. He will not give up on us. He said, I will not leave you helpless. And God has said that. And then Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews, says to us, because of that, we can now boldly say, the Lord is my helper. God said something, but what God said brings faith in your heart. It births a new level of faith. God said, I will never leave you. And the person has meditated so much on God's promise that the faith it had brought forth in his heart is the fact that he can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. Those were not the exact words that God said. God said, I will not leave you. But he said, I can now boldly say. So the amount of faith that is birthed in your heart and deposited in your heart determines what comes out of your mouth. So my question this morning is, what are you saying? What exactly are you saying? Jesus said, if you say and you believe, you will have. The woman with the issue of blood is a story that, I mean, a lot of us know. But for some of us, it's so real because I lived her life. I had the same issue of blood and I bled for about 18 years. And so I understand what horrors that woman went through. And maybe she didn't even have the kind of medical support we have these days. But you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible says that when she heard about Jesus, the Bible says that she said, and she kept saying to herself, if I can touch the hem of his garment, then I will be healed. And when she was healed, Jesus said something. Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Jesus did not say your touch of my garment made you whole. Say your faith. Because she said and she believed what she said. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And she believed that she would be healed. So she took the next steps. Then she was healed. And Jesus credited it to her faith. This morning, my question is, what are you saying? I'm trusting God that after you go back and read the scriptures, that you can boldly say, and you can say the right things. Good morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. Bible before breakfast. Mildred King Sokonkwo.